Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network.
I am your host, Steve.
I'm Em.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net. Just click on our contact page and it will direct you to the various means you can reach us. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes.
All right. We are talking about Season 1, Episode 7, A King's Ransom. Any thoughts on this episode before we get started?
This is directed by somebody new, right?
Ken Garrotti.
Yeah, you can kind of tell. There's a little bit of a different style. There was some slow-mo shots in this one and a couple of just different touches and flourishes that were absent in the last couple episodes. I don't think one director is any better or worse than the other, but you can kind of feel a shifting of gears in the story and in the way it's presented.
I really enjoyed it because the first time I'd watched it, you know, it was when it was airing, I didn't see this episode. At all.
I had no idea it was even there. This is the first time you were watching.
Yeah, so it was the first thing. It was like I got a little, you know, a little treat on an episode I had never seen. Because we had talked about it before, and it was like...
You're like, what happened? Rollo was baptized?
Yeah, I didn't even know I had missed it. But this time of year, you know, it's good. It's good. It's perfect. It was perfect for me.
All right, well, this episode opens where we left off with the Vikings... last episode. The Vikings are back in England, and they are riding their longboats up the River Tyne. They see evidence of a deserted homestead with its livestock still present. And next we see there are many Englishmen that have fled and made their way towards safety within the walls of a barricaded settlement.
They didn't even try to fight this time. No. They saw him coming up the river and they're just like,
yeah, they know better.
Run to the hills.
The stories of Vikings have probably taken off. And so next we meet a new English noble. We learn quickly that this is King Ella's brother, Aethelwulf. There's probably a lot of people named Aethelwulf in those times.
Like Steve.
Yeah.
And Paul. All of our names. Mine and Steve's names are pretty common, so I can understand Aethelwulf. It's actually kind of cool sounding, too.
Yeah, it is.
Back then, I would have been Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. So, so we learn quickly that this is King Ella's brother, Aethelwulf, and he has come to Ella's home to work together against these heathens who have invaded. And they have a shared disrespect for their younger brother, which just makes them both, I think, mean.
Yeah, they're douchebags. They don't have braided facial hair, but they should.
Yes.
Definitely.
So there is talk of how... Aethelwulf's poets praise him, and he's like, well, I do pay them. And there's talk of fear from King Ella's wife regarding the Vikings.
Yeah, she seems to be the only one with a little bit of a modicum of common sense with the situation, because everybody else is like, to victory. Let's crush these guys who almost killed us all last time.
And, yeah, you know, a small group of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're going up against a full army of them.
This is just like a little tiny raiding party, and it gave them the what for, and now these guys are all like, you know, being like chest thumping and, you know, alpha mailing it up, and it's like,
Leaders back then didn't have anybody telling them otherwise, so of course they're going to be deluded. You know?
Yeah.
You get thrown in snake pits with Slash.
Yeah. The last guy to talk common sense is hanging out with Slash right now. So,
well, they probably thought that the Vikings just got lucky because it was a surprise attack. Mm-hmm. So now they're like, now we're ready. You know, now
sure.
we can really show them what might we have in England.
Yeah.
And so next we see the Vikings setting up their camps, fortifications, for which they're actually renowned for. Apparently they were excellent, and as we will see later in setting up these camps. And Tostig is ready to go to Valhalla, and he's got a pretty cool braid in his beard. That is not a douchey braid.
Oh, no.
I've already decided.
It's well manicured. I mean, it's a nice.
Well, it looks soft, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
It's like downy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's because it's perfectly white, too. Yeah. So you just want to grow up and be like. You know,
I think I'm going to grow my goatee like that whenever I get old.
Nice.
Not that I'm already not old, but, you know, when I get older.
The only thing I would be worried about is dipping it into things, possibly. You know, like you're sitting there eating.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Oh, yeah. It's soaking up your soup.
Like the bottom of it will be brown from being dipped in beer all the time.
You're like, man, I drink this beer fast. So... back in Scandinavia, Lagertha attends her people's needs and deals out judgment. And there's an interesting case of who is the daddy presented to her. And Lagertha's decision definitely falls with the woman's side, and she makes some threats toward the husband. So
the first time I watched this scene, last year when I watched it, it was kind of, I was kind of like, yeah, go Lagertha. She's like doling out the justice, and she's, you know, she's in there and her husband's steed or stead or however you know, as a replacement for, because he's out raiding
yeah,
and stuff
trying
like
on the
that.
Mantle for the first time too.
And I was kind of applauding it, but then upon rewatch, she asked this lady, like, is this true? Is this other guy this kid's dad? And she's like, I don't know. There was three of us in the bed. So it's completely plausible that this other dude knocked her up. But Lagertha is basically saying, hey, this guy was the embodiment of a god who came to visit you. And, you know, he bestowed fertility upon you and this and that. So it's obviously not just some young guy who you gave shelter to who, you know, had a little bit of sexy time in the bed with you. And this is the result 9 months later. This was a god coming to be. I don't know. I just thought it was a little bit of a crap judgment. But
well, I don't really know what I think about it. Like, she started to say that she doesn't know the woman, the wife, the mother of the baby, says she doesn't know, and she's like, it was dark and I was really scared. So I don't know if she didn't get to finish her sentence about that. So I don't know if it was like taken by force type thing or whatever, and if maybe if her husband has a tendency to do that too.
And she seems
like
she
made, wildly speculating here.
She made the right decision just for the safety of like the woman and her child too, though. You know, like this is gonna be
maybe she's not necessarily on the side of the woman, but she's on the side of the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it from that. Yeah, from that perspective. Yeah, because she doesn't want the child's innocent and all that, of course. So she doesn't want the kid to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So I can agree with it from that perspective. But the guy in you goes, if you got a wife with a kid and she's saying, the words I don't know don't need to be coming out of her mouth at any point. So
they needed Viking Maury to come out with the blood test.
Yeah.
So maybe we shouldn't all three should be sharing a bed then too.
Exactly. Yeah. And the father is.
Well, you know, right when the woman or I think actually the husband says the guy's name was Rig, you actually see Lagertha because, you know, I've seen it multiple times and you see her start to think like Rig. And so that's when she starts to formulate the idea that it's that god Heimdall because that was another name he's known by.
Heimdall. And so she's just being creative in a way.
I think so.
She might actually believe it.
Yeah, that too.
It's interesting that Lagertha, they show Lagertha in this capacity of giving judgment and stuff like that because at least in Western culture, in our politics, Scandinavians have had women doing politics, leading politics longer than any other area.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that's because the men were fishermen primarily, not necessarily Vikings, but they were gone all the time on their boats. And so
makes
the
sense.
Women were left to run the society. So they were the politicians. And so I just thought that was cool.
That's why they have the best health care and the countries are doing really well. And I mean, it's true, though.
Hmm.
They've got their priorities straightened out. Yeah. Yeah. But they're like you said, like when they leave, Bjorn looks over at her and he looks
worried.
He's like... I don't know what that
always looks worried.
He does.
Yeah, he's
young Bjorn.
Yeah, he's like he's too old for his age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's cute. So now we're back in England, and the English soldiers march their way through the woods. And next, we see them watching the Viking encampment. They are being led by Lord Aethelwulf, and there is some argument between Aethelwulf and his men. His men want to attack the Vikings now before they are too dug in, and Aethelwulf would rather draw them out and away from their fortifications. Mm-hmm. He reminds them of his experience versus their own. You know, you talked about leadership last cast about, what did you say?
I believe it was something about you listen to the ideas of being a good leader means that you listen to the ideas of, you know, your subordinates and you kind of, you don't just take credit for them. You fold them in. And you sort of make a amalgam idea of out of everybody's advice and look for the best way forward. It basically reduces down to you have to find the best path forward, and it doesn't matter if it's your idea or not. You have to do what's right for the group.
I think he's failing at that right now, but I don't – you know, obviously I don't know a lot about military strategy. What did you guys think?
Well, I mean, pulling them away from their encampment would be smart. You know, if you were set up properly to handle a force that can fight like that, you know, so – You know, I mean, it was a good start, but then, of course, you know, they're just not prepared to fight. Because even when they go in later, they get handled, you know?
Yeah, I think they're still – I mean, maybe the problem is they're still seriously underestimating the Vikings.
They should have – I think to beat Ragnar and his men, you would have – even the small group that was there, you would have to overwhelm them with numbers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just – You know, it's like a game of chess when you go into fight.
I agree that this guy is foolish, mm-hmm. though. He's got a short temper, which is bad for a leader.
Yeah.
And, people have short tempers, but when your temper is that short, I mean, he went from 0 to 60 and he was yelling at that guy mm-hmm. to go set up camp and do your job.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy was trying to give him, you know, what he thought was the best advice because it seemed like this guy hadn't been on the field for a while and these guys are everyday soldiers. So.
And he just said that, yeah, these poets, you know, praise my valor, but I pay them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how true is his reputation?
He probably only has that position he's in right now because his brother's the king, and he might resent the fact that, I mean, he can say that he's honored by it all day long, but he might resent the fact that his brother's basically sending him out as the head of a vanguard, which could get killed by these guys who already have a track record of killing Englishmen. So
now Rollo and Ragnar talk of what to do about the English army just outside their camp, and Ragnar wants to wait until the odds are in their favor. Later that night, Floki prepares a horse as quietly as he can, and he's not the only one preparing. The Vikings set to attack the Englishmen while they sleep in their camp. They set their lodgings ablaze, tossing the men from their sleep. Battle erupts. Æthelwulf awakes and begins to pray. He is summoned, but he continues to pray anyway. And when he is done praying, he is ready for battle, just for Floki to bring his tent down on him.
Yeah.
Floki giggles about this.
That was a great scene, because it takes this guy and he's just being like all super serious and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he finally gets up to do the righteous battle in the name of the Lord against these pagan Norsemen. And then the tent just collapses on his head. It's just like, you're an idiot.
Dummy.
So next morning...
Well, you figured they would have had some better sentries out looking, too.
Yeah,
you're right there.
I know. Why didn't they have anybody on watch?
They might have.
The whole camp can't go to sleep.
Yeah, they probably
slit their throats.
We're hoping. We're hoping they're not that slow on the take. You know?
Because, I mean, this sentries were like they probably predated that, but they were definitely a Roman thing. And, I mean, this is way after the Roman time.
Yeah.
So it's like some of these military traditions should have held.
Who's going to watch Carl? I thought Jake was. Yeah. Oh, no.
Carl Thrith. Carl Thrith.
You never know.
Carl Thrith and John Wolfe are supposed to be watching right
the
now.
The Knights of Neat were on watch.
Yeah. They've just got a couple of coconuts.
They're coming.
All right. So next morning, Ragnar questions Æthelwulf. He wants to know if the king sends him to fight all of his battles, even the ones in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. And he's sticking his junk in his face.
Yeah, he's standing with his crotch right up in his face.
Like obviously protruded, like pushed out.
Oh,
he's like standing with his dick in his face.
Like his hands on his hips.
Yeah, and he's just like berating this guy. Does he send you to fight his battles?
He likes to unsettle him.
That's unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
You're tied up. You know, you're hogtied and you've got some other guy's junk like inches from your face.
Yes.
I mean, that's going to be disconcerting.
Glad he had pants on.
Yeah.
If it was in Spartacus, there would have been no
problem.
Oh,
yeah, no.
Oh, man.
He would have been slapping him with it probably.
Oh, we got some of that Segafex action right there.
So Æthelwulf has no answer to this, and the other Vikings are examining their newly captured loot. Rollo recognizes that the English swords are made of better material. Leif says they have captured a dozen of their horses, which makes Floki salivate. He's like, I'm already hungry. Ragnar is walking with Æthelwulf in tow. And he notices that Tostig is sitting there kind of glumly, and he asks him what ails him. And the Tostig is mad that he's still alive.
Fuck.
Ragnar kisses him on the head.
Don't worry, my friend.
Yeah.
Rollo notices Æthelwulf and asks Ragnar, who is this? Ragnar tells him he is the king's brother. And Ragnar asks Æthelwulf, should we visit the king? So, speaking of, King Ella is mad about his brother's defeat and that he is presumed dead at this point. A bishop whose name is Unwan is in attendance as well.
Unwan?
Yeah.
We only know this because of closed captioning, right?
Yeah.
And you watch it on closed captioning when it tells you who's speaking.
I don't remember a Spanish priest.
Unwan. It's Juan.
I'm Juan. It's UNWAN.
I know.
This bishop suggests that the Vikings' presence may be the work of God sent to punish them. Another nobleman suggests that perhaps it is the work of the devil. And for this reason, they should resist them at all costs, and they should not be bargained with. Another noble has a more reasonable assessment and suggests that maybe they should just pay them, because these guys are just simply, you know, as they appear, men who are, you know, out for their own.
Like every man, I think,
yeah.
During that period.
Yeah. And it's interesting that he's suggesting that they should pay them, because that eventually does become a method. It's called Danegeld. So King Ella wants to think on this, and in the meantime, he wants to send envoys out to raise more men to arms if need be.
Yeah, smart. That's a smart move, finally.
Yeah, this scene was kind of like, they needed a Darth Vader in this scene. Because it was like all the Moffs and the Admirals arguing about what they should do, you know, and he's like...
Somebody should have gotten choked.
Yeah, somebody needed to be choked, because there was a lot of foolishness being bandied about in this conversation. Yeah. You know, they're just reaching at straws, because they've got this king who wants answers, and they're like, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. You know?
They've got the court jester with the Columbia necktie, and he pretends like he's choking him, but he comes up behind him and pulls it. I can see your head. Oh, sorry.
Then he just scampers away.
So next we see King Ella praying for support from his god against his contenders. A messenger comes in and announces that they are here, they being the Vikings. So Ragnar and others arrive on horseback. Lord Æthelwulf is also with them. Lord Edric rides out, and Lord Edric is the more reasonable of the nobles. He rides out with men to talk. That's, you know, pretty courageous of him. You know, they're all afraid.
Yeah.
He asks, who is their leader? And the Vikings don't respond. Except maybe with some smirks. And he talks of making a deal over Æthelwulf. He asks if they accept the king's invitation, and Ragnar and the rest just turn away on their horses without any response.
Meh, meh.
Yeah, they didn't hear what they wanted to hear, so they were done.
It's pretty intimidating, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
So next scene, Ragnar is relieving himself, and Rollo talks of wanting to attack. Ragnar says, attack, attack, attack. That is all he ever says.
And that's what I would expect. But Rollo's coming. Oh, God, attack. I know.
Let me guess. Uh-huh. Let me guess.
I know. It's attack. Fuck.
So Ragnar says he wants to talk to the king. Rollo doesn't understand the point of that and is only interested in the treasures. He wants them. Ragnar wants to meet with the king. Rollo does not trust that they will be safe. And I think that is pretty risky that they what they do. But anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. But they've got that bargaining chip, though.
Yeah.
That's why they left. Put him nice and safe somewhere.
Yeah, once again. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But Ragnar says that they are guaranteed the safety because they have his brother. Mm-hmm. Rollo asks, why should the king care about his brother? Mm-hmm. Ragnar's like, I care about mine.
Yeah,
do you care about yours?
Why should he?
Yeah, huh? So I guess what you're saying is,
if
they had me.
Since you can't imagine the concept, this is obviously a failing on your part, dear brother Rollo. So next scene, the Vikings make their way back to the king's settlement. They are then escorted into its walls. The residents watch their procession with fear and anger. And some spit at them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Edric personally leads them into the king's hall. They are watched by nobles as they walk before them. And Ragnar and his companions are introduced. King Ella says he had... And that's where the slow-mo was happening.
Yeah, that's where it was like the... When I was watching it, I had like a comparison in mind. But now it's escaping me. But it was like some movie that I've seen. Or probably many movies that I've seen where they have slow-motion scenes like that.
A lot in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Where he walks through the dining room with Uma Thurman. Well, it's the view through the restaurant, and then they get to their table. You know what I mean? Like slow-mos through the entire thing.
Or even Kingpin.
Kingpin.
Like when he's walking real slow and he takes a pizza from that guy's hand, and then the music stops.
Yes.
So now Ragnar and his companions are introduced to the king. King Ella says he has heard of Ragnar's name before. He says he is pleased that Ragnar has decided to talk. Ragnar is not very forthcoming, and this is where Lord Edric is like, maybe we should invite them to eat. And King Ella's like, sure. But he's like irritated. He's tapping his finger on the armrest of his throne.
Fat Elvis is pissed that they're all there in the first place, even talking to him, especially in Graceland like that. I mean, the more you look at him, you can't help it. You can't help it.
You know,
he's got all of his guys around like Elvis did. He's got his wife who's just like super young.
One. Yeah, that Fat Elvis in Graceland, that's better than the one I was going to use, because I was going to call him Burger King. Because he's got that crown, you know what I mean, and the hair and stuff.
He just needs the high collar pantsuit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, his clothes are a lot of jewelry.
Suspicious minds. But, feast time. Floki and Arne admire the women and furniture. I like hearing them speak that language.
Mm-hmm.
The king enters and introduces his son and wife to the Vikings. Flóki reaches out to the boy, and Leif tries to get the kid to drink. Ragnar says hello, and this scares the child finally. Well, I mean, this kid, he was already scared, but I think that was like the last straw.
Well, I don't know why you'd want to bring your son to that anyway. You know, I would have just been like, you're eating in your room tonight.
Well, eventually he's going to take the throne. You know, presumably he's the heir, so I mean, that's probably why part coddle? Of his training. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what you have to do. And you see Ragnar look at the kid with kindness, too. It's his weak spot, children. So King Ella claps twice, and then the food is served. The Vikings eat like the barbarians they are, and this disgusts some of the English.
Well, then they're carrying on and having a good time, and you know, everybody else is on pins and needles.
I was about to say, don't the monks start singing?
Yeah, they begin to sing, and the Vikings are at first taken aback, and they think it's ugly.
They're like, oh, what is this?
And the English only just now begin to eat. And Flóki examines the dinnerware, and so do the other Vikings.
Put this in my
pocket. It breaks. Ragnar tells him to quit making him laugh because he's trying to be serious. And then he turns to the king and says, shall we talk, king? And the king is amenable to talking and mentions his brother Æthelwulf. Ragnar notices that...
Who? No, I'm kidding.
Ragnar notices the man next to the king or on the king's left and asks, is he a priest? Because I have one at home.
I haven't taken him out of the package yet. It's totally sealed, but like 100% accurate.
I'm pretty sure mine's better than yours, though.
Mm-hmm.
The king tells Ragnar that he is a bishop. And like I said, Ragnar says that he too has a man of God at home. And then Ragnar suggests 2,000 pounds in gold and silver for his brother.
In weight.
Yeah, in weight.
Yeah, not just 2,000 pounds in weight. I didn't catch it at first. I was like, ooh, that's more.
And that is the price he is suggesting for his brother. The soldiers begin to enter the room. Like, I don't know if they got a cue. Like, all of a sudden, like, just this.
I think Fat Alvis cues them.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm almost positive.
Because they start to circle the Vikings at their table, the English soldiers. Yeah,
things got tense quick.
Yeah, the Vikings, they had their weapons. Mm-hmm. They start to pull those out. And each one's facing off an individual soldier. I remember Rollo specifically looking in the eyes of the guy he was ready to take down.
What did Fat Alvis feed him? Was it like turkey legs and stuff?
It looked like a bunch of like poultry meat.
And bread.
And bread, yeah. So... Yeah, it's got the tense moment we already mentioned, and then this is where the king kind of gives in, and he says he agrees to the terms. The king wants his brother first. Ragnar wants payment first. Duh.
This king's not really too...
underestimating them.
Yeah, he doesn't have a very like a good appraisal of Ragnar's intelligence. You know, I mean, he tries to dupe him this time, and then he tries to dupe him a couple of scenes later.
Well, look how they ate their food. I mean, can they be that smart? I think that's what he's thinking. You know, like, they're not refined. And so that's why they're judging them so poorly.
I mean, you're right. Yeah, I could see that. They do give them cause to underestimate their intelligence, but he hasn't had any cause to underestimate their ferocity in battle, and that's what's going to come down to.
Well, it's because he's never believed anybody's reports on him. Remember that one guy he threw in the pit?
Yeah.
So he's just a pompous ass.
But did he throw that guy in the pit because he didn't believe what he was saying or because he didn't want to hear that shit?
And because he was the only survivor. I mean, it could be several things.
Yeah.
The cut of his thread. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
You don't dress better than me, man. Poof. In.
So the king needs time and wants the Vikings to stay in their camp. He needs time to gather such a large amount. It is then suggested that one of the Vikings should be baptized because how can they make a deal with non-Christians? Which is interesting because they actually go, a whole group of Christians go back on their deal with them, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's just him listening to the priest. You know, it's like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Why are you talking? I really do think that was just kind of like the church's pull, you know, back then.
So he did that as a concession to all of his religious people because they got those connections back in Rome. So they need to keep cool with that shit.
You know, for a few hundred years, they had to deal with that shit. Probably still in some countries.
Excommunication is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ragnar translates that, he's like, they want to make one of us a Christian. They all laugh. Rollo's sitting there thinking, and then he offers.
Different.
He's like, I'm not just about attacking guys. Check this out.
Yeah, right. I'll show you guys. Yeah. I'm smart too.
Not all just attack, attack, attack. And so he offers himself and he thinks it's a joke, but everyone else takes this very seriously.
Yeah, Ragnar has a pretty sour look on his mug when that happens. He's just like,
Like, why did it have to be dumbass. You, brother?
Yeah.
Because you know he couldn't tell him, no, dumbass, sit down. We don't have to do this. Idiot. Doesn't Floki give him a look, too?
He does a little bit, but it gets it's really prominent later. So next, back in Kattegat, Siggy seeks out Lagertha. Bjorn is at first uncomfortable with the idea of her approaching or needing an audience before. He's like, no, wait!
Such a good son.
Yeah.
He is. He's such a good son.
But Lagertha uses it as a teaching moment for him because, you know, but he may be an earl in the future. And
she's a good mom. She just got into that position. She's already like, all right, we got to make sure Bjorn's not a bad earl. So it's genius on her part.
So Siggy wants to serve Lagertha. And Athelstan actually brought Siggy in to here, and which is... When I watched the scene last night, it was weird because Siggy wants to serve Lagertha and Lagertha says this is not necessary. And then you see Siggy just kind of like sit there and she starts looking at Athelstan like.
And that's when he intercedes and kind of says, well, I found freedom and kind of a release in service when I gave up my, you know, selfish desires and just decided to serve Father Cuthbert, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's when Lagertha kind of capitulates and says, okay, well, if this is what you want, we could do it this way, but I'm not going to treat you as a servant. So we were kind of thinking that it, you know, we bounced this idea off each other last night that it could be that Athelstan kind of orchestrated that whole thing.
I could see it. She might need it. You know, I mean, who else is she really going to go and talk to also? She knows Athelstan's not going to go blabbing his mouth to everybody. She might have had the problem, and then he presented it to her.
Or it could have been a back and forth. She could have went to Athelstan, and then Athelstan was like, yeah, I can do that for you, out of his sense of Christian charity and the fact that he's a priest.
They're supposed to be able to listen.
Exactly. Yeah, true.
And help. I mean, it fits on a lot of different levels there. It's awesome. I didn't even think about it when I saw it. I was like, oh, that's good.
But that whole, the nuances of that, that's why rewatching is so rewarding, because the nuances of that scene had just went completely over my head when I watched it the first time. But then when you watch it again, little things, you know, here and there, just the looks on people's faces and like the cues that you're supposed to get, they like fill you in on a whole new, you know, appreciation for it.
Yeah, you imagine a different conversation we weren't privy to. And Lagertha accepts Siggy's offer, and Lagertha says that Siggy and Thierry are now under her protection, but that she will never treat Siggy as a servant. I put as a serpent.
As a serpent. Ooh, Freudian slip.
Freudian slip. So next scene, Rollo is baptized, and this is a hilarious scene.
Until
you see Floki's face.
Yeah.
When he does the whole, with his thumb, the priest does the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
He's all leaning.
And he's like leaning back. He's just like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm not looking that.
All the Vikings are laughing their asses off. And then they like realize it's a serious moment. And they're like,
Well, when all the others kneel, all the English kneel, Ragnar then kneels. And then the other Vikings are like, oh, shit, I guess we got to kneel too. Everybody except Floki.
Yeah, I was going to say, who doesn't kneel? Like, he was staring some daggers.
Because he's the cleric.
Yeah.
He's not that physically imposing of a guy. I wouldn't want to fight him because he can fight, but I'm just saying he's not like a huge hulking, you know,
but
Viking in
tall.
That sense. But he looked intimidating in that scene. Like you wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that glare. Mm-hmm. It was intense.
Yeah, he's so mad he does indeed actually spit. And King Ella asks Ragnar to fulfill his promises, return to their ships and await payment. Back in Kattegat, Geeta goes to Lagertha's sleeping chamber because she can't sleep. Geeta worries about her father. She wants him to come home. Lagertha tells Geeta that their lives are fated and that they will all have to accept that. Geeta can feel the baby moving in Lagertha's belly. Lagertha tells Geeta why she knows it's a boy, and then they go to sleep. Any thoughts on that? That's not spoilery?
No, I have a thought or two in the spoiler section, just real quick.
Okay. Okay, so we'll just save that for spoiler section. So the Vikings go about their business at camp. They pass the time playing games. Floki taunts Rollo. He says, well done, Rolf. Because that's
Rolf,
the name he was
the
given.
Christian name.
The Saxon version of Rollo.
Mm-hmm.
Floki is sure that Rollo made the gods very angry. Rollo and Floki face off, and the English, but at this point, they're interrupted because the English make their delivery, which is probably good.
Good for Floki. He was going to get an ass kick in there.
Yeah.
Because he was like, Rollo was like, don't be stupid. And he's like, you are the one who's stupid, Rollo.
Yeah, he lights him up pretty good.
The Vikings too discover that they were betrayed, and English mounted soldiers attack. Vikings meet the charge readily, and they have surprises in store for the English cavalry.
Yeah.
Clearly, the English underestimate—I keep saying underestimating—but yes.
Well, it is the
best word for it.
Should have been the name of the episode.
Underestimation.
Mm-hmm. And then there's shield maidens. I mean, they've been hidden, but boom, they pop out when there's battle. It's a bunch of them.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And Tostig meets his end, and he dies happily. Rollo savagely is killing Saxon wounded like he has something to prove. And he asks, how many Christians did I kill, Floki? Floki's like, whatever.
I like that Ragnar went over there and took the time to see him off to Valhalla, you know?
Yeah.
It was a nice scene.
I like it. Em mentioned this last night when we were watching it. After Rollo goes around and he's just in that berserker rage and he's killing all the wounded and everything. And then he's standing across the field from Floki. And then he's like, how many Christians did I kill? How could, you know, Odin possibly be mad with me now?
And they're facing off, kind of.
Yeah, and they're facing off. And Floki's just like staring, you know, staring at him, not saying anything. And you said it was like Father Merrin and Pazuzu.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when he's looking at the statue at the beginning. And it's
Exorcist.
Just like, but who is who?
Yeah. Who's Father Merrin and who's Pazuzu? It's hard to say.
I could kind of go back and forth.
Yes. So Ragnar talks to Æthelwulf, tells him of his brother's betrayal. Ragnar asks him, why should I not just kill you now? And Æthelwulf says, then he will have nothing left to bargain with. But Ragnar says, I have this, as he waves his axe around. Next we see Æthelwulf's body being dragged by a horse to King Ella's place.
There's a price for treachery.
Yep.
And next scene we see that Lagertha has lost her baby. Siggy is there to comfort her.
Yeah, it's awful.
And it's almost like, I don't know, I mean, I don't know what's, I don't know if something here has displeased the gods, but I feel like there's like some sort of like
connection
between the events that have happened and Lagertha losing her baby. And I feel like they try to kind of make it seem that way. Like,
could be.
I think
considering
like
what comes up in
future when you,
episodes.
Yeah, when you watch the next episode and they show you the previously on, I think they show some things like the seer had said, like, you know, the gods can always, you know,
take away
their their regard or whatever
their goodwill towards you is
exactly.
is their largesse, and then they can you know, take it out from under you at any time. Do you think maybe it's kind of like a little bit of quid pro quo. The gods aren't going to keep heaping good fortune upon you. You have to pay a price and kind of feel a burden to get what you've got. You know, so
super
Ragnar
worthy.
Was able to overcome obstacles, kill the Earl, become the Earl, and then have successful raids. But the price to pay for that was that he lost his unborn son.
Anyway.
And it kind of fits with what happens later on.
Yeah. Next episode's called Sacrifice. Ragnar receives another delivery from King Ella. Turns out that killing Æthelwulf struck a better bargain. The Vikings leave. King Ella swears vengeance on Ragnar.
And you know, the Christians and King Ella are not put in a good light in this episode at all. Because if he had just stayed true to his word in the first place, he would have still lost the 2,000 pounds of coin, and he would have his brother alive. As it is now, he has a dead brother, and he still doesn't have the 2,000 pounds in coin.
Enough.
Dumbass. I mean... Come on, and then but it's Ragnar's fault.
But I think he knew going into it, if it doesn't work out, they're going to kill him.
Yeah, that's
Maybe
true.
Maybe he wanted him dead.
Because Ragnar does say to Æthelwulf, he's like, your brother doesn't really care about your safety, you know, or about getting you back alive, because I'm now going to have to kill you.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that, but it's implied strongly. But that gives us a window into, you know, King Ella's character.
Yeah, Fat Alvis doesn't care about his family. Nope.
So the Vikings are heading back from Graceland to the homeland.
The homeland with their booty. Yeah. Or their loot. Well, it's booty.
That look that, you know, he gives them, like Ragnar gives him, and he's just like, does his hands like that, like, good riddance, I'm done with you.
And
see
Floki's
you later.
Just tossing coins into the water.
Yeah, he's just like, maybe he's making a wish. I don't know. Maybe that's where that came from.
Maybe.
Wild
Floki's Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Some sailors do that for, it's like paying the tolls to cross It's like paying the gatekeeper of, well, it's not, it's a Greek thing though. Yeah,
Oh,
go across
Charon?
in the Hades, and then you pay
Crossing the river Styx?
the
Oh,
Styx, yeah,
yeah,
into
like
Hades.
in the underworld. I see what you're saying.
The boat guy's Charon,
Yeah.
right? You gotta, what, do you have to pay him, or
Pay the
is it?
fee,
I think
yeah.
that's part of the reason why they put coins on your eyes when you're
To pay
dead.
the.
Oh, huh.
So it could have been symbolic of that, but I doubt it. I think he was just like wild card off the edge of the boat.
I think he was just like he had. They have so many riches from the raid that I don't really feel like that
He was
particular
making it
scene was.
rain.
Yeah, he's just making it rain. He's at the club, but
Ching, ching, ching,
it's
ching.
like a it's almost like a disdainful gesture. He's like, we have so much of this. I don't need this, and he's just throwing it overboard. And it's like, look at the. It's like
And
it's spitting
nobody
in the face of
cares.
these people, And it's not the most magnanimous gesture, I guess you could
No.
come up with upon leaving, but I mean, these are Vikings, and we get glimpses every now and then of how these guys really were, rather than just being TV protagonists. And this is, I think this is one of them. They're hard, brutal people.
Maybe he was paying his homies.
Yeah.
pouring one out.
It was for toss steak.
Yeah, maybe it was. Okay, so all right, so that's it for the
Spoiler.
King's Ransom. Next episode, we'll be talking about episode 8, Sacrifice. It's the penultimate episode of the season. All right, so we're gonna go into spoiler section. All right, we're in the spoiler section. So,
That was
any
fast.
spoilers?
Remember how I thought about it when we were talking about how Ragnar lost his son and it being a penance kind of from the gods for all the good fortune he's had, or the reminder, of him. And then you go on to the future with not Sigurd Snake in the Eye, his brother, Smushy Bones. What was his name
Oh,
again?
boneless.
Boneless.
Ivar the
And he has
boneless. Ivar the
boneless. He has
boneless.
two healthy sons, and then he's
KFC.
got Ivar the boneless, and has to make the choice of whether or not to kill him or keep him. So maybe it could be the gods going, okay, you've got all this good fortune, but here's, you're gonna have some
Something has to
struggles
balance
too.
the scales. You don't get. It's like, it's just that there's 100,000 cliches out there for that situation. Like, there's no free lunch. You don't get something for free. Or what do they say? You don't get something for nothing. And it's just that everything that you have that's good in your life has to have a balance of a certain amount of struggle and or negativity to get you to that point, to
Not
make
that
you
he's gonna
appreciate
love
it.
him less, but it's gonna be more work. It's not gonna be as easy as like raising Bjorn. He's gonna have to really put in some effort. It's gonna be good.
Well, it's kind of I don't know. I've been rereading the Sandman comics, so my mind kind of goes into that. But if you look at it like Fates, or they have the whole your I and also it was in Wheel of Time, right? The idea of there being thing woven. The whole tapestry of life or whatever. It's like he's now been touched by the gods, and it's kind of warped anything that comes, after.
That could be it too.
So everything that's
Well, they say that the wheel weaves as the wheel wills.
the weft and the
Weave, weft
weave
and weave.
weft and weave is warped.
That's a tongue
Warped, weft, and
twister.
weave.
My name is Warbut.
I'm Warbut. So it was cool. I never thought about it until y'all brought it up, and there is a similarity to the two children, just on, that level.
My only spoiler that I wanted to bring up is I just at this scene with Lagertha and
Gita.
Gita, it kind of made me sad because you know she's gonna die, early next season.
I hope
Or
y'all
is it
turned off
next step or is it the end of this season?
it's
the end.
episode nine.
Yeah, at the end of the season. So it's like it's sad because there's so much emphasis that Ragnar places on his sons, and I'll talk about that a little bit next episode, when it's applicable. But like, he's got a daughter too, and I mean, he loves her and everything. You know, you never feel like he doesn't care about her, and he actually has a pretty heartfelt like send off and goodbye to her. Mm-hmm. You know, in another episode. But it's just, I feel like the character was. I mean, she could have grown up to be a really cool S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe.
Oh,
because
awesome.
Look at Bjorn, how much of a badass he is when he's an adult, and he's the product of those two. I mean, it would have been cool to see the female version of that.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you know, have this like brother and sister fighting kind of like team and stuff like that, and they could have gone on to do. But I guess it's just, I don't know if it was a contractual thing with the actual actress, or if it was like a, which
actual
I don't think so.
Thing.
I think it had to be more of a historic thing because they could just age advance like they did and have a different actress player.
I think it's a story thing, and we could talk about it when we go over next episode.
Okay.
In the spoiler section.
But anyway, it's not real spoilery. I mean, anybody who's, it would be spoilery if you hadn't seen it, obviously. But like, I just, I feel like it's lamentable that her character didn't get any more development than what we see in the next couple of episodes.
No, I agree.
So.
I don't have any spoilers. Cutie Patootie has requested that. She's been trying to throw some suggestions out there, which we've talked about before as far as shows to watch. And Dominion is a sci-fi show that just started airing this month. Are you guys familiar with it?
No,
I don't think so, actually. I might have seen a trailer at one point.
Well, I've got the trailer here that we can watch.
So guys playing basketball.
I was like, huh, starting out kind of weak now.
Yeah. This summer.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember seeing something
on
this.
I think I have, too.
Mm-hmm. Where's my Tycon soldier outside the walls today?
Where are they? Oh, that's Giles.
Oh, great. I think it could be awesome if they do it right, but I think it could get cheesy.
Is this like Angels and Devils?
Yeah, it's like, I'm not sure if it's going to be Fallen Angels or if it's just angels coming down to... It is in loss that we are
reminded why we fight. We will prepare. This is an extended trailer.
We you know, it's like the apocalypse, maybe. We are the angels' natural enemy. See... What was that movie that came out similar to this with Christopher Walken?
Oh.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. Mm-hmm.
It's actually a good movie that has Andy Whitfield, too.
You know, it's got potential. It's just, why are we fighting angels? More than one higher angel has joined the war against us. Why not just make it demons? No chosen one. No one coming to save us.
I'm not ready. You are. Oh, Anthony Stewart Head's in it.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's like a plus right there.
I know.
Anthony, you know, Giles is in it, and it's on sci-fi. We've talked about how sci-fi is kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
When they hit, it's really good, but when they miss, it's like, wow.
Yeah, if it's done well, I think it'll be worth checking out for sure. But, you know, I guess I have to watch a few to understand why we're fighting angels. I think it'd be more successful if we were fighting demons, but I guess that's been done about a million times too, though.
Yeah.
Like, angels are fighting us for God's, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense.
Approval.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, kind of petty.
You're already an angel, you know, yeah. I mean, what else do you need?
Yeah, so I don't know, I mean, it looks good, and like you said, it has bonuses, it's just, I need to, it could get cheesy quick.
So the next thing she actually suggested this before Dominion, was Under the Dome. So I'm actually less interested in this idea, but just because
I remember hearing something about this also, actually.
So we'll go ahead and check this one out.
What's this on?
Maybe it'll let us know here.
You up for the game today, Big Jim?
No, I'm sitting this one out, actually.
The hell are they taking all our trucks?
Over to Westlake. It's a great day.
I love you.
It's been a fun summer.
I'm Phil Bushy, and you're listening to WYBS, the Mills.
Only 100%
independent. Rock.
Everyone, please stop what you're doing and listen. This is not a drill.
Now's when you need a Heisenberg.
No. Stop the truck.
Wasn't this a Simpsons? The Simpsons movie was about.
Really?
The dome? Yeah.
They put a dome
over Springfield.
Where the hell did it come from?
No idea.
Huh.
Get people trapped in here!
God, Stephen King makes so much money.
I know.
Anything he does, he could fart a book out and he would make millions off it. Like a killer feces.
Not very plausible, some of this.
Whatever it is, it cut off all our roads.
Hank!
Not just the roads, the whole town.
My best guess puts the dome at 20,000 feet, sir.
Did he just call it a dome?
You think we might be stuck in here a while?
Did he just say, did he just call it a dome?
The army's just going to quarantine this place.
Dude, why not dig out from underneath it?
I promise as soon as I
then it would be a sphere. So
we'll yeah.
And it'd ruin the show.
Tell the truth.
They could dig it out.
We're on this together.
Get somebody on the outside dig it out, and then they can be like a hamster society. And like,
yeah.
Run around.
Why Chester's mill? Why us?
Maybe we're being punished.
They got a lawnmower man in it, too.
We're all on the same side.
I see who your friends are and who isn't.
The casting's decent on it.
I can't hear you.
Looks like we're stuck in a giant fishbowl. I used to have fish, but then one of them got sick, and the other one ate him.
That's a heavy conversation.
That's what?
A heavy conversation.
I don't know. CBS? I said the same thing about Vikings in history.
So. Yeah. Yeah, you can't go by the channel.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it can give you an indicator of like how much sex and violence.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.